Welcome, everyone. I'm John Melke. Today, it's a pleasure to welcome three stars of the men's basketball program when Ranger Athletics was just getting started back in the 1970s. Roddy Dmitrijevic, Malcolm Mahone, and Bill Sabansky were part of the 1974-75 men's basketball squad that racked up a school record 24 wins, including 16 in a row. That team was inducted into the Ranger Hall of Fame in 2014. Playing a national schedule that included three Division I programs and 11 games against teams currently competing in Division I, the Rangers made their debut postseason appearance, qualifying for the NAIA National Tournament in Kansas City after winning the NAIA District 14 Championship. At the national tournament, the Rangers dispatched Morningside College 57-54 in the opening round before slipping past Marymount College in the Sweet 16. UW Parkside's tournament run came to a close in the Elite Eight, falling 70-54 to eventual national champion Grand Canyon State University of Arizona. The appearance by the 74-75 team was the first of four straight national tournament appearances by the UW Parkside Rangers. Roddy, Malcolm, and Bill, welcome to Parkside today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure being here.
So the first question I was thinking about was, thinking back to 40 whatever years ago it was, it's a new basketball program, and how do you make a decision to join a program that is new versus maybe some other universities where the program's been established for years? And what went into that thought process for making that decision? And I don't care who starts out.
Bill, you were the first, so
okay.
You preceded both Malcolm and I.
That's right, I guess.
You got seniority.
I do. Well, to be honest, I didn't know. I'm not from the area. I was a Chicago guy. And I was not familiar with the Kenosha area or Parkside, and I didn't know how new the school really was. I'm not saying that Coach Stevens didn't dwell on that too much or the new program, but when I came up to visit, the athletic department was down by the where the soccer fields are, and the gym that everybody probably thinks is getting a little antique now, but it was a brand new gym, and it was open in the fall of 72 when I first came.
Right.
So for me, Parkside was probably the last school that I visited. And I just thought, boy, you know, I maybe for the wrong reasons, but I knew I could play right away compared to some of the other. I mean, I was looking at a couple of the Division I schools, and I chose Parkside over those. Mm-hmm. It was only about an hour and a half away from home. Family could come see the games, good situation. My high school gym and school was built in 1905, so the gym, brand new gym and the new school and all that. And again, growing up kind of inner city south side, all the wide open spaces was very attractive to me.
Yeah, interesting. Roddy, how about you?
Yeah, for me, you know, similar to Bill, not that I'm from Chicago, I'm from Kenosha.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more or less the last pitch of a recruiting nature that Coach Stevens put on me, and I can't say that it was the steak at Nino's Steakhouse that did it, but I think primarily it was a couple things. You see a lot of your classmates, not necessarily sports, but you know, they leave to go out of town to study, and in our area they primarily go to Madison, but guess what, after a year they tend to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was first in my mind, thinking I don't want to do that, I want to make a decision, stay one place. But the primary reason and the reason for the basketball program was that we had a lot of good talent in southeastern Wisconsin, Kenosha, Racine,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the allure of playing with those guys now coming onto a combined team was appealing.
Mm-hmm.
The newness of the gym, that was a given. You know, you wanted to be in nice and good facilities, but so the prospect of the education, playing with guys you know,
mm-hmm.
building something from the ground up, being part of something from the ground up, and not knowing how it was going to turn out, but you know, turned out great, and I'm grateful that I made that decision.
Yeah, yeah. Malcolm, your story, a little bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, it is different because I didn't come here as a freshman. I transferred in from St. Louis University.
Mm-hmm.
However, the appealing part, other than being from Kenosha, I was automatically comfortable with Parkside because prior to the university being on Petrifying Springs ground, this is where I grew up playing.
Mm-hmm.
My family's home is, 3 miles south of here.
Mm-hmm.
As little kids, me and my brothers and neighbors, we would run out here, literally run, walk, ride our bikes out here and just play all day. We'd have picnics and barbecues. So this is home for me. It's like in my backyard. Mm-hmm. And it's a very majestical place. When it was time for me to transfer and get the you-know-what out of St. Louis, it was very easy. I knew Bill was here because I played high school ball against him.
Mm-hmm.
I've known Roddy since he was
junior, a little guy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Some of my teammates from Gordon Tech High School in Chicago were here, and other players in the area, Abdul Jelani, so and Chuck. So it was pretty easy for me to come here.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we had all this powerhouse talent, and I know Coach Stevens since I'm seventh grade. So it wasn't a matter of gaining trust because, I've known Coach for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's some other minuets that go with that particular story. Maybe we can get into some of that stuff later. But it was just a matter of me considering, well, was I going to be able to play? I had to wager sitting out half a semester or going somewhere and sitting out a whole year. At St. Louis U, I didn't play much, and I was like dying to get on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like I say, played against Bill in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Knew Roddy since KYF.
Yep.
Yeah. So, it made sense. And a couple of my teammates from Gordon were here, so it made sense for me to come.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had, and we talked a little bit about this before we started recording here this afternoon, but you had a connection with Steve Stevens through your high school coach when you were playing at St. Joe's here in Kenosha, correct?
Well, yeah, I think Coach Stevens realized he could not actually recruit me because he knew I was not interested in a small school.
Okay.
He knew I had D1 aspirations, and I thought my talent qualified that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, upon going to St. Joseph High School, where I was recruited there by Dick Versace, the real story here is that Dick Versace and Steve Stevens were like joined at the hip way back in the mid-60s.
Mm, okay.
They authored a book called The Trident Offense. Okay. An offense that we ran at St. Joe's. And when I transferred from public schools to Catholic schools, and went there with Dick.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, my brothers and I were sitting in the backyard playing basketball. We had just put up a new hoop. We're playing basketball. And who pulls up? Coach Stevens and Dick Versace and three Parkside recruits from Chicago. Eli Slaughter, Stan White, and Art Hester.
Okay.
Hmm. Okay? So my older brother, he's big as a house. I'm there, all gawky-eyed, and my younger brother, Cersei, was there. So we played 3-on-3 against these guys for about an hour in our backyard. It was a real battle. I mean, throwing elbows, and these guys from Chicago, like, you country boys are playing like this? I said, we're not from the country, So that was my first real experience with Coach Stevens in our backyard. So there's always been a good history there.
Mm-hmm.
Parkside, for me, when I was raised on the east side, on the lake, back when there was a Kenosha Vocational Technical School right on the corner of 52nd and 6th Avenue.
Mm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Precursor of where we are today.
City Hall.
City Hall now?
It's City Hall now.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Then our family grew, so we moved out here on 31st and 40th Avenue. And just down the street on Washington Road and 39th, there was the extension where there was the science lab thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so Parkside moved there. So it just seems like as I was moving, Parkside seemed to evolve as well. So there was a path for me to be at Parkside, way beyond my understanding.
Destiny. It was destiny. Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Okay, yeah. So pretty cool story for me as I reflect on it. Like I said, I really love it out here. Just, a beautiful place to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And even to this day, just to come and reflect.
Yeah. So, Bill, what do you remember about Coach Stevens? What kind of coach was he from a recruitment standpoint, or what kind of person was he when you're playing for him or practicing?
Great guy. Could be tough, could be sympathetic as well, and just appreciative of what you did and all that. Just, I think that had a lot to do with my choosing Parkside over some other schools. That I just thought I had a good relationship. Just the few times I met him in the recruiting process, thought I could get along and play for him very well.
Mm-hmm. And that worked out. Okay.
It worked out very well.
Yeah. And Roddy, did you know of him, or you know, growing up in the Kenosha area, did you know about him before you came here?
Yeah, not to the extent that Malcolm, because
you're at the KYF with us.
Yeah, but Steve wouldn't be there. Our high school coaches would be there. Remember? So Joe Bertelli would be there. Who was the Bradford coach? Verway, and Versace. So the story about Versace. I remember he would videotape your jump shot at the KYF to make sure you were doing perfect form. And it's, holy God, that's pretty interesting. Later do you find out he's connected, as Malcolm indicated, to Coach Stevens.
Yeah.
But all the coaches, they knew not only the local coaches, they knew the regional coaches in college. Mm-hmm. The high school coaches were all well connected. So I didn't know Steve really much until maybe meeting him for the first time, you know, but he knew of me and asked around.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a knowledgeable guy, you know, knew the game, knew the X's and O's.
Sure.
We joke about him sometimes, but that was the nature of what everybody did. You know, when you're 12, 15 guys over the course of many years, working hard, battling hard, you know, it was us against all comers, basically.
Sure.
We didn't have much to prove, but we certainly did when we played those D1 programs. They said, you know, they think they got a easy win, and we're not going down lightly. But Steve instilled the discipline in us. You know, he worked us hard. He knew the game. And the one time I remember in practice, it that's probably when everybody stood back and said, geez, this guy does know what he's talking about. He was demonstrating how to come around a screen in the passing game offense, right? And he's the whole while talking, somebody threw him the ball, might have been Coach Rudy, top of the key. He comes around to pick. He's not even looking at the rim. And he comes around to pick and just puts one up like that while he's still talking, made the shot. I don't know if you remember. I remember that. I said, everybody saw that and really said, oh.
Oh,
yeah. It was one of those moments I wasn't paying attention.
So what, you touched on it just a little bit about maybe not feeling you had something to prove. Was it different playing as an independent in those days versus saying, oh, we are as a member of like the whatever they called the state college, now the WEAC.
Right.
But was that different playing as an independent?
Again, didn't know anything different at the time. Mm. I mean, just coming in, this is our first college experience, or, you know, you played in a conference at St. Louis, but, you know, didn't know any different. So it was always kind of tough to get the games. But it was awkward trying to get in, positioning yourself for the playoffs and things like that. But I think, you know, one of the things is we did play a lot of D1s in my 4-year period and a lot more in the last couple of years. And, you know, they started recognizing Parkside. You know, a lot of times when you'd run a close game up against a Drake, University of Detroit, we didn't get invited back very often, you know. And a classic one I do remember is we played University of Detroit when Dick Vitale was the head coach at University of Detroit before he became a head NBA coach at Detroit Pistons.
Uh-huh.
And he had three potential NBA players, Terry Tyler, John Long, and who was the third guy?
Clarence Durod, I remember, he was a little guard.
And it's typical, if you know now, you know Dick Vitale, hear him on the radio at the marquee or the wherever we played, he conveniently dropped the Parkside name off on the marquee board. It says their game tonight against University of Wisconsin. Just conveniently dropped the Parkside.
And that was Cobo Hall.
Yeah, Cobo Hall. Time. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So we had, and I, you know, I think we were up by like 5 points with like 2 minutes to go in the game. And somehow we lost.
I think there might have been
a couple questionable calls in our
mind. The zoo arrived and the zebras got out.
Officials ran us out.
Yeah. So we didn't get invited back. No, well, did
we
you?
We did.
One more, but
it was,
after
it was,
that.
It was a two-year commitment both times there. We lost by 3.
Yeah.
And then the next year we lost by 16. I remember that might have been at the Joe Louis Arena at the time. One of them, but it was a big arena. Mm-hmm. I remember the game was delayed because the roof was leaking from the snow. It was accumulating and it was dripping right at center court. Yeah. That game, I think, is when Gary didn't play. Mm-hmm. That's why it wasn't much, you know.
Yeah.
We didn't put up as good a fight, but.
Yeah. But to echo what Bill is saying, you know, like, was his name Ford?
Who?
The forward, John.
Terry Tyler. Terry Tyler, John Long.
John Long.
John Long, yeah.
I mean, he had a storied career with Pistons.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the whistles just, you know, took us out of it. But most of the D1 schools we played were aware of our talent because we had inner city talent from Chicago. A lot of these schools we played had guys from Chicago, so they were up on us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you guys are going to have to come out here and play hard because these guys can play.
Yeah, yeah.
So we had some, I think some of our, I don't know, we used to just get up for the D1 teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, from one year to the next, it was kind of an unveiling to see who was on our schedule from that regard. Who were the D1s? Where would our trips take us?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we're all from this area. You don't experience a whole lot of travel as a young person. And so whether it was flying, not as much, occasional flying, usually by some van or coach. But so that was what you looked forward to. You knew you were going to have some nice places to go to, and it was going to be top competition.
Sure.
The rest of our schedule, year over year, it was as if we were in a conference. Because you know what? We played Whitewater.
Yeah.
We played Lakeland.
Yeah.
We played area.
Milton, sure.
You know, we played those area teams that made it seem like they were just the fill-ins, filler, if you will. But we continually played them.
Yeah, actually, we were a little bit snooty playing the UW teams.
Yeah, we didn't look forward to that.
No, because, you know, we'd go to Denton, Texas, play North Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, University of New Orleans.
Yeah.
Okay, that was huge for us. Okay, to travel that far to go down there
and compete.
Yeah, we played New Orleans,
USA.
South Alabama, and Delta State.
That was a heck of a trip for us.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So, and we took a lot of pride in that. You know, we're not coming this far. I just laid out for these guys because we knew we could play with anybody.
Sure.
And usually, like I say, it was our five against their five plus two zebras, so usually
against the D1s,
right? Yeah. And since they're paying us to come down there to play, you know, it was good for our coffers.
But it was only D1s out of our region that would play us,
right?
Remember when we're beating UW-Milwaukee at their place?
Hands off of them.
We look across the court. Who's sitting there? Hank Raymond's, Bo Ellis, virtually the whole half the Marquette team. The ones that knew. The guys from Chicago, and they said, let's go see what this Parkside team is
right.
like. But, you know.
But see, they already knew.
Yeah.
Because we played with them in the summer, and we played with them in high school.
Sure.
Your teammates, Greg Boyd and Lloyd
Walton. From high school team.
You kidding me? This guy, this guy played with two of the best guys in Chicago history.
Yeah.
Yep.
Talking Isaiah and all this stuff, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the kind of talent that we had.
Yeah. So who do you, from each standpoint, and then you've thrown out different names here. If you had to pick like a couple of the top people that you played against, that you faced, who would those be? Who sticks out in the memory?
You probably got the best one.
Well, I do, but I'll start with a couple others. You know, I remember that New Orleans game we went down, and they had Wilbur Holland, who five or 6 years played in the NBA, played for the Chicago Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Guard, little stature guy, but he dogged us hard. Played in Albuquerque at New Mexico, and their coach was Norm Ellenberger, who was a Bobby Knight protege. And we were tied at halftime in my senior year, and we lost by 14. But that team was they were just like Greyhounds. virtually all of them were 6'6", 6'7", ran. And who was on that team? Michael Cooper. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to Coach Rudy's a little time after that. He said, yeah, don't you remember we held him to 6 points? I said, no, I don't remember that. I only remember we were gasping for air because it was high elevation, altitude. And yeah. Second half, we were done. We were done. But by far the best would have been same senior year when we traveled to Indiana State and played this guy named Larry Bird.
That was
incredible. It's like, okay, what's this team all about? What's this guy all about? You know?
Yeah.
So it was a Monday game because we got there on Sunday. They played Saturday night at Illinois State, which is their bitter rival. And we heard he had 44 points. Okay, so now they're coming to their gym on Sunday, back from their trip. We're there doing a shoot-around practice, and everybody's wondering, okay, which one's Bird? Well, coach points him out. It's that guy there, the taller guy with the blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? So, okay.
Didn't exactly look, especially probably in
college.
Didn't
look the part.
Didn't look like a basketball player.
Didn't look the part.
Right.
So now comes game time on Monday, and talk about these little, not little, but it was an arena downtown Terre Haute that I believe they say is below street grade, so it's down.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're there 5:36, got taped on the floor doing a light shoot around, nothing formal yet, but I remember hearing this buzzing sound coming from the street level. And it was the students waiting until they opened the doors. First come, first serve seating. And virtually 12 or 14,000 people, you just watch this thing fill up. Now we get to the game, right? And Marvin Jones, Jim Jones' brother. Mm-hmm. I was rehabbing my knee, so I didn't play. So Marvin was slated to start and guard Larry Bird. Now he's all nervous when he heard that he scored 44. You know, he's a freshman. Marvin's a freshman. He was nervous all day in the hotel. He was wearing a green and gold football jersey. Didn't have Packers, no name on it. But what I remember about it was that it was number 37. And as the game unfolded and as it ended, we lost in overtime, and Larry Bird had scored 37 points.
Wow.
But it wasn't all against Marvin. I mean, we all had equal opportunity to shut him down.
Yeah.
But we could have won the game. Stevie King missed a reverse layup with seconds in regulation. We would have beat them, and then we lost in overtime. So that is most memorable game that I saw.
Well, didn't Scotty match him point for point?
Yeah,
I think. Or did he outscore him, or was it like was even
something like maybe. That? It was. Yeah. It was back. They were big. They were.
Right.
They were a big kind of a plotting team. And again, we played in the era. No three-point line, and no dunking.
Yeah, right.
So it made the game maybe more pure in a way, but it also made it more physical.
Mm.
Made it more physical.
Yeah.
That's a great story, Ronnie. I remember.
I'm sorry, I missed that one. I was gone already.
Yeah, I was gone. But then I remember coming home and I was reading the paper. I'm at my mother's dinner table, and Kenosha News had a very small article, just a real 1.5-incher. And I was like, what? And so I was pleased to see that the team was still very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard of this guy, Larry Bird, because I had gotten into coaching at the time. So, but I was just proud to see that, you know, these guys were still scrapping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, we had great talent. Mm-hmm. So we didn't back down from anyone.
Yeah.
Didn't back down from anyone. Yeah. That's a great story, Rod.
Yeah, it is. It's, I hope this doesn't come out wrong, but somehow Coach Stevens was able to get a lot of players who were D1 caliber to come to school at Wisconsin Parkside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that made a big,
right.
You know,
right.
I mean, that's how we could compete with these guys.
Yeah. Right. And that's about, we were talking before, the relationships that get built where there's a person who you trust that person or you like the person enough to say, yep, I'm going to. That sounds like a good place to go. I'm going to do that.
Well, the connection, too, for me was actually my junior and senior year, my high school coach, a guy by the name of Tony Baroni, he played ball at Duke from Chicago, was 1 year an assistant at Gordon Tech. But my junior and senior year, we got the head coaching job at my high school, Mount Carmel, on the south side of Chicago. And he and Versace were buddies from that 1 year. Mm. So we went well, the year before you came, but we went to the National Knights of Columbus tournament my junior and senior year, your senior year. And then we ran the same. I mean, because of that, Baroni, he had us run it. We ran the Trident offense ourselves at Mount Carmel. Mm.
In my mind, I've got what I think are each of your best games. And so, Bill, you mentioned earlier against Drake University and Malcolm. I think when we got put out of the tournament by Coppin State, you know, going against Joe Pace, I thought that was, you know, your best game. I don't know statistically.
I appreciate that, Ryan.
You know what I mean? Statistically, you know how it was.
It probably wasn't a point scoring thing, but just
From a lockdown.
Inline to inline?
Yep.
That's what I remember. I felt good about that performance, even though, you know, it was my last game.
Yeah. I know, yeah. Right?
You
know?
Well, sometimes you play like it's going to be, you don't want it to be your last game.
There can only
game.
Be one team that goes on, right. Well, you know, wins their last game of the year when it's a tournament format.
Teamwork about the team, I mean, all came as really good players from the high school teams. And how am I at 6'7", and Gary Cole, Abdul Jelani at 6'9", playing comparable? I mean, we played like our position 4 and 5 were kind of interchangeable parts or whatever. Mm. But, you know, how am I going to, you know, the good games I ever had was when Gary was hurt or out or something like that. And, you know, guy step up and play better or do the dirty work or do whatever. Everybody did that just with a common goal of just winning. So, I mean, that was probably the strength of that team.
That's true. Bill and I were the blue collars for the team. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Him on the inside, me on the outside, locking people down, getting rebounds, scraping the knees, leaving it all out there. You know. But
Malcolm always got the top guard, their best guard to guard. And somehow I always ended, even though Abdul was 6'9". I ended up guarding the center a lot. Right. I don't know why all that worked. But
Well, defense wasn't Abdul's preeminent skill.
Wanted to keep him in the game. Didn't want to get him in foul trouble.
Well, and that was, I told Coach, hey, man, you got to get everybody to play defense the same way. You know, if he fouls out, that's why you go to the bench. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But for us to, and Coach and I used to go at it on this, it's like, hey, make this guy work harder on defense. Mm-hmm. He'll be a better offensive player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, these guys know I never closed the hatch. I was kind of vocal. I was the rah-rah guy, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was always about business, though. It was always about basketball. It wasn't about anything personal or emotional.
No.
Right. Yeah. So, that's what, you know, Coach understood that. That's why he would let me kind of, like, raise my voice sometimes.
Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about the size thing. You know, here's Abdul Jelani at 6'9", 6'7", right at 6'8".
Just under, 6'8".
6'8".
I grew a little bit.
He's huge, man. Yeah. He's always been huge.
When you guys watch the game today and you see, I mean, I watch like Giannis and go, how does a guy who's 6'11", 7 feet tall do what he does? You know, how does that, from a person who's a, you guys are bigger people.
Yeah.
What do you look at when you see today's game? From what bigger people are doing on the court?
I mean, it's things that we could do. We did that in practice. But like I said, we were restricted by the rules of the game at the time.
There was no three-point line.
There was no dunking.
And sometimes, based on coming out of a school, pigeonholed in at 6'7" in high school, you're definitely a center.
You're the center kind of thing.
I ended up paying the power forward in college, but again, they're pretty interchangeable kind of parts on the team. I wish we could have dunked because that might have improved my field goal percentage.
Coach opted for a
more conservative
control
style.
Yeah.
He was tempted to allow us to be a more inline-to-inline team.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm. And we had a lot of quickness, guys that could run the floor, and we had a lot of depth, so it lent itself
to allow us to run and play
up-tempo. That might have opened some things up, especially for Roddy. Roddy could play the perimeter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He could face up. Okay,
interior.
You know, a lot of coaches' stuff ended up limiting us as individuals, but because collectively we're okay as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Jelani would be a good example because he he could play facing the basket.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll never forget, we opened up against Whitewater, I guess my junior year, and, you know, coach was letting us run, but we had way too many turnovers, but it was our first game, so he scrapped it. Mm-hmm. Instead of letting us feel our way through it, learn from it, so we can make better decisions on the floor, he's a conservative coach anyway, so we just went back to the slow down, set it up kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And limited
and the other thing different, you know, now you've got the shot clock. Not only pros, but college.
Yeah.
So that will speed the game up.
I'd say, Steve was predominantly kind of a
conservative.
You know, that tried an offense and then they had that shuffle part was kind of a slow down, kind of a interweaving, intercutting.
It was intricate.
That kind of
intricate movement.
Yeah.
Everybody could function out of any one of the spots because that's where you might end up.
And
we learned discipline from it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was
restricting.
It was restrictive. And I think ultimately, I think it hurt us as a team, especially when we got to Kansas City.
It did. The starters put in big
for minutes. For me, Kansas City was just to get to Kansas City was our goal instead of winning it all.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we didn't practice that way. We practiced just to get to Kansas City. That's true. It was always like, okay, we're here.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
Brand new challenge here. Instead of keeping our eye on the big prize, which was the title. Now that was just that's the benefit of hindsight.
Our second five, you know, not comparing to the D1s we played, but anybody else, our second five was better than those other team starters.
So imagine those guys on the bench.
We were chomping. We wanted minutes. We wanted time.
Yeah.
And then it was like you get in and you might get a turnover or a foul. Next thing you know, kind of you're back on the bench. But we understood our role too. And you know, the bigger prize was not winning a conference because we didn't belong to a conference.
Yeah.
It was representing our region at the national tournament.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the one game I think this whole state was cheated out of was Parkside versus Carthage.
The city wanted it because they had some good teams too, but they didn't want to play
Tommy Heller. He was one of my teammates at St. Joe's.
Yeah.
Dave Rosenbaum.
Hap Ellerby, Barry Bennett, and one more guy. People were thinking that they were going to knock us off to go to KC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well, there was one time it could have happened, and I don't know what year it was. I think it was like probably junior year. We hosted kind of a Christmas or holiday tournament of sorts, and we were set up supposedly as, you know, we weren't playing in the first game, but we were kind of set up to be kind of like, well, both of us should play our first opponents.
Mm-hmm.
And Carthage got knocked off in the first, you know, there were four teams. They got knocked off in the first game.
Yeah.
So they played the opposite team.
Yeah.
And we didn't get to play them. But that would have been a good game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I keep looking up at the clock to see where how close we are to 30 minutes, and they give us, you know, 30, 35, whatever. It's not a hard thing, but we're pretty close to that half hour, and I definitely appreciate you guys coming in to share some of the stories. And not to get away from the basketball completely, but kind of what was it like as a student at a new university? Did you think about that as a student going to someplace new, or did it seem like that was, if here was Parkside and we're going to classes and
did you go to class?
Went to class.
That's why I didn't know if I should go there or not.
Not to mention
class. Class, what class?
We're supposed to go to class?
I remember.
As Rodney Dangerfield says, call me when you have no class.
No, Malcolm mentioned earlier the extension. That when my freshman year, that's where I think I had half my classes.
Oh.
What's now Bradford High School?
Yeah.
I was there. And then the other half of classes were night classes, which that continued pretty much the 50% of my classes throughout were night classes.
Yeah. Well, especially as you turn your
with a lot of adult, a lot of commuter.
Sure.
So that's the thing you realize, there aren't that, you don't see kids our age in class. A lot of older people coming back taking night classes. And it fit because then guess what? We could sleep in a little bit later, but typically it was practice and then you go to night class a couple nights a week.
Yeah,
that's what I remember.
Those are tough after a tough practice and then going and sitting in class for 3 hours afterwards.
So, you know, walking the halls, the concourse and everything like that, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and being business major, you had a lot of your business classes were for, you know, night classes, where people working
ad
full
hoc.
Time at
the hall. Yeah, the professors were ad hoc.
Mm-hmm. Wow, interesting.
How about you, Rodney? What did you say?
Class? Oh, class.
Class?
Yeah. I was a psychology major, okay? So I did get my degree in psychology. I graduated on time. And my credits from St. Louis University did come through, all 15 of them. So I just want to make sure to clear on that, right? And I do believe in the value of education. Don't get me wrong there, because that's vital. I think you cannot separate the two. And I enjoyed my experience at Parkside with my teammates playing ball, Coach Stevens, going to class. I think one of my favorite classes was jazz appreciation. Oh. That kind of helped me get my day going.
Right.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
But, I think it's a wonderful experience to be able to come here and learn and grow as a young man.
Mm-hmm.
And again, share the experiences with like these two guys, my teammates to my right here, invaluable. And for us to come back after all these years and sit down and share some of these experiences with you, John, it's a miracle.
Appreciate it.
I'm very grateful.
Yeah, definitely.
Very grateful you could have us here.
Well, as I said to each of you, the fun part was because I have the perspective of watching each of you play, and going to games and see those. So it was. It's easier to picture, I can picture that gym, or I can picture, sitting in the Eau Claire gym when you guys came up there the first year and doing those things. So it's been a fun conversation.
We sold the place out, though, right? We filled it up. We filled it up.
We have very nice crowds.
And we were Rodney Dangerfield, come to think of it, right? I'd imagine we talked about this.
Yeah.
You know this, too. We'd have a home game. It didn't seem like we played at home, except for the fact, the crowd was cheering for us, but the officials... We never got calls that a home team
should get.
Yeah. We were fighting officials. We were fighting sometimes our schedule. We certainly were fighting hard against those D1s, but home games didn't seem like a home game from that perspective, where you knew you go to play on the road, and they're getting calls that mystery calls.
Yeah.
But, we couldn't complain about that. We just all felt it and experienced it, right?
Sure. These are two of the toughest guys. I've played against a lot of basketball players, okay, globally. These are two of the toughest guys I've ever played with. And these are the kind of guys you want to take on the road with you.
Sure.
And, like I said, we're down in New Orleans. We're, cross country. We did a lot of traveling together, cramped up in these vans and these buses. So, you get to know people after a while. After being on the road. So
good experiences.
These are good experiences, good stories, and good memories.
Well, great. Roddy Dmitrijevic, Bill Sabansky, Malcolm Mahone, thank you very much for sharing those stories on Parkside today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.